You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its Zero Trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zerotrustAI. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the CyberWire's Research Saturday. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is our weekly conversation with researchers and analysts tracking down threats and vulnerabilities, solving some of the hard problems of protecting ourselves in a rapidly evolving cyberspace. Thanks for joining us.
So we were doing some routine intelligence collections, and it turned out that Winston and I were looking at the same sample, but we didn't realize it. We had a pretty good laugh, and then we realized, hey, this is something that is worth our time to see what else is unfolding.
Joining us this week are three researchers from security firm Anomaly, Gage Mealy, Winston Meridison, and Yuri Polizan. The research we're discussing today is titled Probable Iranian Cyber Actors, Static Kitten, Conducting Cyber Espionage Campaign Targeting UAE and Kuwait Government Agencies. The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business.
The name of the samples were intriguing, right? Analysis and study of normalization of relations.
That's Gage Mealy.
Strategic titles. So like, okay, this is interesting. This doesn't seem like your typical commodity campaign. So based on that, I would go and add some geopolitical context and see what's going on in the world as to why an actor would use a topic like this. And then once I realized some of that stuff, then I would touch base with Winston regarding the technical capabilities of this campaign.
Well, let's go through it sort of step by step here. I mean, the first way that someone would find this in front of them is these zip files that you identified. These were used by Static Kitten. What was going on with these?
Yeah, good question. Winston, do you want to talk about the zips?
Yep.
Winston, sure. Meridison.
So, as Gage told, analysis and study of the normalization of relations between Arab countries and Israel, that was the name of that particular zip file. So on further analysis, we found that the zip file contained an executable with the same name. On closer look, it turned out to be a screen connect client executable, which is a non-remote desktop software owned by ConnectWise. And now it's called ConnectWise Control right now. So it's basically an executable, which is a kind of a used by multiple MSPs and the remote support team across the globe. But then if you look across the internet, we could understand there are numerous variants of this software executables as indicators out there. And it's pretty tedious job to pinpoint which one of them are really being associated with a particular threat actor. However, while analyzing this particular sample, we found that it creates a new service in the vector machine. Okay, so here's the catch. While the service is being initiated, the screen connect software in our context, which is an executable from that zip file, passes a launch parameters so that it can reliably connect back to the remote screen connect server controlled by the attacker. So it's a client and server relationship there going on. It's a direct impact there. And the connected victim details would be populated in the server console. At the attacker side, that's a little more scary at that point. So because historically, Muddy Water, also known as Static Kitten, what they preferably do is kind of stale in low profile. They won't leave much of the forensics footprints in the victim machine. So that's what's happening here as well. Since this is a non-software, and then they are dealing with these kind of approach, how we identify the difference between a normal screen connect software running out there in the public or in any machine comparatively to this is how it connects back to the remote server, right? The offender decided to keep the launch parameters hard-coded with custom properties along with the remote domain ports and the key. This custom property parameter, which passes the letter C, contained the targeted entity's domain. In our case, it was a Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Kuwait and the PC. So also, important aspect is we found another similar executable which creates the service at the victim machine and launches same parameters, launch parameters in a way. And this time, the custom properties the offender decided to keep is kind of a generic one. It is a MFA.govern. That means it looks to be kind of targeting generally across the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. It could be Singapore, it could be anything else, but we don't have enough data to prove that. But that's what we found, actually.
And help me understand here, just so I'm clear. So it was these Ministries of Foreign Affairs that were hard-coded in?
Exactly, yes. It was the website, I mean, the domain name, mofa.govern.kw. Is the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Kuwait. And if you see mfa.govern in another executable, it's a Ministry of Foreign Affairs govern dot anything. So the attacker will be able to understand, okay, this particular agent installed in a machine, in a victim machine, is talking back to me. And when I see the custom properties, it is telling me, okay, hey, this is from mofa.govern.kw. This is from mofa.govern, so that the attacker can understand, okay, this is from the victim which I was targeting to, which is good.
Right, from the attacker's point of view, it's good. What happens next? I mean, they get this indication that they've successfully infiltrated one of their target victims. Where does it go from there?
Okay, so let's think from the beginning. So there should be a spear phishing campaign happened. And then the victim got an email, and then there was a document, a doc file. In the doc file, there was a link. That link took the user to download a zip file, and the zip file contained an executable, which kind of attracted the user to double-click because of the name, obviously. Since it is targeted to government, it will be a little bit, they will be focused on double-clicking that. That's the weakness of the user. And once he clicks that one, when it gets executed, that agent will try to communicate back to the server, right? Since that already we explained. But then once that communication happens, right, that's where the next steps goes in. As of now, we do not have that particular information that what the attacker is going to do. But once attacker gets connection back, he can do anything at the victim machine. Since he got the control of the machine, he can send maybe another ransomware, another worm, et cetera, et cetera. So he can do anything at the victim machine.
I see. So it's the installation of this Screen Connect software, which I suppose we should mention is a legitimate piece of software that people use for everyday normal uses, right?
Exactly. It has been widely used, to be frank, by multiple MSPs and the customer support teams, et cetera, to control the machine and then send the files and help troubleshoot the victim machines, et cetera. So, yeah,
and this is the danger of hackers using it. We saw it in the past years.
That's Yuri Palazan.
When, for example, there were several high-profile hacks of IT outsourcing companies such as Cognizant 4 years ago. First, the Cognizant were hacked, and once the hackers had access to their screen connect, they were able to attack their clients, for example, Maritz Holdings, and steal over $1 million worth of credit card, of gift cards. And this is a type of hiding that APT groups are trying to exploit here. So they put those zip files that we found on OneHub, and OneHub could be used for a different purpose. And then they hide behind Screen Connect, and this remote administration software, it often used for legitimate purposes. So it's hard for defenders to find it.
The bad guys, if you use legit tools to do bad things, it's even harder to track. So that's what they're doing here. And then, per Winston's point, Static Kitten likes to stay hidden. So they'll use legit tools to stay hidden. And then compounded with what Yuri said, it's already difficult to find. So how do you find these malicious connections from legitimate tools? And in this case, as Winston said, it was the hard-coded launch parameters.
Right.
So it's interesting to see the legit tools, because it makes it even more difficult to find and potentially worrisome.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, part of your analysis here is you dive into some of the details of these Lure documents, some of the, I suppose, the social engineering aspect of this. Is there anything that stands out with these, how they were able to be effective in getting people to click on things?
Yeah, a lot of APTs, for example, Mustang Panda, there are certain legitimate websites they go to pull just straight up copy paste, you know, legitimate research or wordings. So sometimes groups will do that. But in regards to these, it's really interesting to me is that they're talking about Iran's actions in the Lure document when Static Kitten is a Iran Nexus group. So that's quite clever to talk about, to try to lure people in concerned about Iran from an Iranian threat group. So I think that's a good little trick they're trying to do there.
Right. That is kind of fascinating, isn't it? I suppose they know what works. They know what's going to grab the attention of their adversaries.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do and they don't. They try different things. So in this report, we analyzed two malicious zip files, and one was more direct, talking about Israel and politics. But another was a little bit more beating around the bush with a more generic topic. If we go back to this APT group activity, Static Kitten, we will see that they try to modify from one campaign to another campaign. So they will try to use something else.
In your estimation, how sophisticated are these threat actors? How do you rate them that way?
Yeah, so if you see the muddy water historically, that in 2017, we saw them active or publicly announced by Palo Alto in the past. And from there, the tactics and techniques being kind of changing over the time. And if you can see then January 2018, FireEye told that, okay, there is a kind of a updated tactics, techniques, and procedures in spear phishing campaign. And then it happened in 2018 multiple times. And then 2020, we saw Clear Sky talking about the Operation Quicksand and the operation against Lebanon and Oman, etc. So when we see these kind of activities happening, they specifically, in a nutshell, they send a spear phishing campaign to kind of target the sentiments of the targeted audience of the or the victims, to be frank. So the victims will be tend to react to these mails because it is kind of utilizing the current situation in the region. So that is where the muddy water sophistication comes in. And then once it is there, they typically use a kind of a lol bins and lol bass. So it's kind of living off the land binaries and scripts. So what it does is it uses mostly, it tries to use the executables within native to the Windows machine example. And for example, PowerShell, for example, other RegisVR 32 for registering the DLLs, et cetera, et cetera. So it kind of leaves very less forensics footprint. It will be pretty much difficult to identify what is going on sometimes with the normal traditional AVs because it is kind of running under the hood into the machine using the legitimate tools, which is meant to be running in the machines. So that is where the sophistication comes in a second stage. So all this comes into picture when we think about Muddy Water, and they typically targets, we can see that mostly they target across the Middle East region as well.
So what are your recommendations here? What are the best ways for people to protect themselves against this sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, it's oftentimes the employees are the weakest link. So it's those spear phishing. It's those custom things. Oftentimes they rely on relatively simple means to get inside a network. So it's really education against these spear phishing emails. If everyone knows that Static Kitten and these other groups, this is how they do business all the time. So look for these strange email topics. Maybe they seem too relevant to exactly what you're working on, which could be tough because, of course, you're looking for things that you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that initial infection vector, if you can cut that out, that would be extremely useful.
And also, one point to add that we know that the MITRE framework out there, and then it is always better to get into each of the tactics and the techniques there and see whether, let's take a company, and if they can kind of see whether their security controls will be able to identify when there is a real attack happens. And one by one, if they can go through each tactics and see that, okay, this particular technique, whether we can detect in our environment or not, right? If you take Muddy Water, it has a kind of a TTPs. And then if you focus on that particular TTPs and find that their kind of controls are being able to detect this, that will be a really nice project for them internally until they have a confidence, okay, this particular TTP, even though it happens, our team and our tool sets are good enough to detect this. For example, supply chain compromise, whether we are able to detect that or not. So that is one of the questions maybe CISOs needs to get in touch with the teams and do this.
Yes, very good point.
As a process.
Yes, and finally, APT Group managed to use legitimate remote administration tool to get into your network, but then they need to do some other steps. They would run some PowerShell commands. They will run some searches. They will start some exfiltration process. So have some data loss prevention in place, maybe some canaries, some internal honeypots to detect this kind of activity.
Yeah. This is one of the important, your question is very valid that when I go and see the clients across the globe, when it comes to the intelligence, proactive intelligence, that is very important. So when we think about a priority for a particular company, think like that company is in Saudi, it's a bank, and we define them, okay, can you please prepare the PAR for your team, for your company, prioritize intelligence requirement. Whether this Muddy Water, for example, is one of the priority for you because you are in Saudi and there are chances that these attackers will be attacking you. So that becomes a priority. So based on priority, we will help them to collect the intelligence themselves. We use a ThreatStream platform actually for the clients, and then we derive value out of it for the customer so that they can kind of track what's happening in the region with the heartbeat of intelligence coming to the platform, and then they can investigate further themselves. So that's where we're helping them. That is one of the things. The proactive intelligence might help the clients across the globe to identify whether they're being targeted or not from a particular threat actor.
Our thanks to Gage Mealy, Winston Meridison, and Yuri Polizon from Anomaly for joining us. The research is titled Probable Iranian Cyber Actors, Static Kitten Conducting Cyber Espionage Campaign Targeting UAE and Kuwait Government Agencies. We'll have a link in the show notes. The CyberWire Research Saturday is proudly produced in Maryland out of the startup studios of Data Tribe, where they're co-building the next generation of cybersecurity teams and technologies. Our amazing CyberWire team is Elliot Peltzman, Peru Prakash, Kelsey Bond, Tim Nodar, Joe Kerrigan, Carol Terrio, Ben Yellen, Nick Vilecki, Gina Johnson, Bennett Moe, Chris Russell, John Petrick, Jennifer Iben, Rick Howard, Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening.